Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Well, just about 2 weeks ago, Carnegie Mellon University hosted a major event featuring Senator Dave McCormick, President Trump, Governor Josh Shapiro, to talk about artificial intelligence, these AI models that want to generate everything for us, from funny Photoshop images to videos to sometimes nefarious things like deep fakes. There was a lot of talk about the technology behind these artificial intelligences. There wasn't as much talk, in my experience, about what powers these artificial intelligences, which are large data centers, which are giant computer processing centers, basically, that turn out use enormous amounts of energy. What are the impacts of that going to be on normal people like you and me? Ben Murray is a senior researcher for Food and Water Watch. He is joining us from his office in Tennessee. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Artificial intelligence, a lot of people using it, a lot of people using ChatGPT, or they're generating images with OpenAI. What's the environmental impact of these giant data centers?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, there's a massive energy demand required by AI, specifically at the data center level. And then there's also a massive water demand, and this comes to supply the energy and cool the servers. Looking at both the energy and water demand that AI has, there are real effects that people are going to feel across the country very soon, and already are happening. And this is both in terms of quantity issues and quality issues, quality issues more for water. But yeah, you won't hear much about this at the Carnegie Mellon Summit. They're really the companies that are rolling this out, both energy and tech, are really sweeping these problems under the rug. And actually, the government is really asking states to block any regulation on AI development right now. So they know this is going to be a problem. They're just trying to get ahead of it and say that you can't regulate these things. But we're already seeing examples of issues with increased electricity rates and decreased water quality across the country thanks to AI data centers.
Let's back up a little bit. And I know, Ben, you're a environmental researcher and a food and public health researcher. You're not a computer scientist, but let's maybe define our terms a little bit. When we're talking data center that they keep talking about, what's the scale? Give me a scale in terms of something people can imagine, like football fields or Walmarts or something. Like, how big is one of these things?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in terms of physical size, I can't really say how big these data centers can be. But in terms of power consumption,
there
I can. So, for example, one data center owned by Meta consumes as much power as 7 million laptops running for 8 hours a day.
Okay.
So I don't know if that actually puts things into perspective, because that's such a huge number, but that can kind of give you an example of how much power these things are pulling at a given time.
Well, that's like everybody in let's say Baltimore. I mean, that's 7 million laptops running at one time. I don't know how many people live in Baltimore, but that's like everybody in Baltimore running everything in their house.
Yeah. Probably closer to Philly, actually.
Or but Philly, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then I can also say, so that's kind of at the data, that's one data center.
Yeah.
So that's electricity, and obviously the environmental footprint and water footprint of the electricity that's powering these data centers really depends on where the energy is coming from. And as you know, especially in Pennsylvania, and other places across the Midwest, west of you guys, like, they are delaying the closure of coal plants, increasing natural gas infrastructure, and then also reopening some coal plants to power some of these new data facilities. So if the energy is coming from these fossil fuel sources, then the footprint, both energy and water, is much larger than it could be if it was powered by renewable energies. But not surprisingly, from the Trump administration, we haven't heard any plan of renewable powering of these new data centers.
Ben Murray is a senior researcher with the group Food and Water Watch. Do you have a website that people can get more information?
Yeah, you can find us at foodandwaterwatch.org, and we release data and press releases on current environment, food, water quality issues. And then also we do organizing in Pennsylvania, New York, California, Iowa, Florida, a lot of places across the country.
We're talking about, in particular, this AI summit, AI and energy innovation summit, is I think how it was billed at Carnegie Mellon. But you were telling me off the air that these things are being held at universities all over the country. You're in Tennessee, and you said Vanderbilt University just held one.
Right. I mean, a lot of the reasoning behind Trump's recent AI rollout plan is talking about national security. So whether that's with for China or whatever reason. So the summit here in Tennessee at Vanderbilt was in regards to kind of national security and tech partnerships with the defense company. But I think what you all saw at Carnegie Mellon is very telling, which is the tech partnership with the natural gas, the fossil fuel companies. I know that a bunch of fossil fuel companies were at the Carnegie Mellon event. And that is a very troubling partnership, given the short-term outlook that a lot of those companies have. They're really interested in entrenching fossil fuel use for the upcoming AI boom, and they're not too worried about the environmental implications beyond that.
You mentioned, we were talking a minute or two ago about, you said there's an existing data center that is owned by Meta. Meta is the company that owns Facebook, Instagram, right, WhatsApp, and a bunch of other applications that people probably use every day. And you said it uses about the same amount of power as 7 million laptops running for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Some of these are these data centers already, because I know there have been a few that have opened not too far from us in places like Maryland and Virginia. What have the impacts on the surrounding communities been from these data centers that have already opened?
Yeah, so there are examples of electricity rates increasing, and that can be due to increased demand put on the grid. So
electricity prices in some places are what they call dynamic pricing. So as the demand goes up, the price goes up. I don't know if we have that in Pennsylvania or not, but I think it's mostly for commercial businesses, not as much for homeowners. So as the demand goes up, like in the summertime, people are running air conditioners, they're running swimming pool fillers, swimming pool pumps, all the kinds of things that we like to have in the summertime. The electricity rates go up. So you're saying that as these data centers move in, the prices are going up for everyone? For their electricity?
Right. That has happened, and it can be dynamic pricing through rates for kilowatt hours, but it can also be when a data center moves into a new grid, they may need to do grid updates. So this could be kind of infrastructure updates on top of rate increases due to demand. And then also most of these data centers are really big consumers of energy, so they often receive discounted rates compared to residential rates because of the amount of power they're pulling. And then that's for electricity. In terms of water, there have been examples of data centers moving into communities, and then there being kind of sludge and silt runoff from the data center that causes private wells and other water systems to get blocked up and water quality to degrade around the new data centers. I haven't seen quite yet examples of water rates increasing, but water is even more scarce than energy, arguably, in some parts of the country, for sure. So I'm sure there will be communities that experience increasing water rates. They can feel that in their pocketbook due to data centers moving in nearby as well. So it really affects both sides.
I know this is not exactly in your lane at Food and Water Watch, but I also read a story, I think, in the Washington Post a few months ago about the noise levels that people are complaining that there's sort of a constant electrical noise or a constant electrical hum that they can hear from these data centers, which I guess if you've got 7 million computer processors all running at the same time, plus the cooling equipment to run them, there's bound to be some noise as well.
Right. I haven't heard that, but I could, if you let your imagination run, I can imagine it's a pretty tough neighbor to have.
We have to take a 30-second pause. When we come back, I want to ask you more broadly what Food and Water Watch does and why it got interested in this particular topic of AI and data centers, okay?
Great.
Ben Murray is a senior researcher for the advocacy group Food and Water Watch. You can find them at foodandwaterwatch.org. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Everybody's talking artificial intelligence, AI, these computer models that can generate funny videos for you or write a term paper for you if you give it the right prompts. Ben Murray is a senior researcher for an advocacy group called Food and Water Watch. Ben, how does Food and Water Watch fit into AI? Why is a group called Food and Water Watch interested in AI and in these large computer processing centers that power these AIs?
Right. So I guess within our name, water is a big concern for a lot of people when it comes to AI. That's because the energy needed to supply AI power is very thirsty, and especially if it's going to be used by fossil fuels, the upstream water needs are huge. And then on beyond food and water, we work a lot in the energy world. So the kind of entrenchment of fossil fuel infrastructure that they're proposing along this with this AI rollout right now is a big cause for concern. So we organize across the country. A lot of our organizing teams are opposing fossil fuel, ongoing fossil fuel or new fossil fuel projects. So we really kind of work to keep new fossil fuel projects coming up across the country. And unfortunately, this AI rollout is, as you all know, in Pennsylvania, going to potentially cause new or delayed closure of natural gas or coal plants. So it's an issue that we have been monitoring closely for a while now.
There had been Ben Murray from Food and Water Watch is our guest this morning for the half hour. There had been a power plant that was up in Homer City. If you've ever driven from Pittsburgh up to State College on Route 22, you've probably have gone past this power plant that is up there in Homer City, Pennsylvania. It was a coal-fired power plant with these big cooling towers on it. It closed down a few years ago. It's being reopened. The capacity, I think, is 4.5 gigawatts. I sound like Doc Brown all of a sudden. But it's going to be reopened as a natural gas power plant. And my understanding, Ben, is it's going to be brought online to power AI data centers in part.
Right. Yeah, this is happening in Milwaukee as well. They are a Microsoft data center is... They're canceling the retirement of a coal plant, so keeping it open and increasing natural gas production there. And I think this really points to the fact that the AI companies need natural gas to supply power, but then the natural gas and fossil fuel companies need AI to provide new demand, because these fossil fuel companies do not want to let go of the stranglehold over our energy economy that they have.
It sounds like a snake eating its own tail all of a sudden.
Exactly what it is. Okay. And it's pretty incredible in 2025 to think of all the amount of increased emissions, that fossil fuel emissions that we're seeing thanks to AI. It's almost something that you wouldn't believe if I told you 10 years ago.
Well, and I was just thinking, Ben Murray is our guest. I was just thinking about how, you know, my studio here is all LED powered lights. And if I, you know, 20 years ago, if I forgot and left a light on, I would be very upset in the morning because I thought, oh, look at all the power I wasted. But an LED light uses a fraction of that power. All over the places, we have more energy efficient air conditioners now. We have more energy efficient refrigerators now. So one of the reasons that some of these coal-fired power plants have been going offline is we don't need as much capacity for power as we used to. And now we're reactivating them so that my Google search results can have an AI summary on top of them.
Right. Yeah. It's totally a two-way street with these companies. And as we know, fossil fuel companies really just care about profits in the next few years. And I think we know tech companies really only care about profits in the next few hours. So we're looking at pretty short-term horizons here.
Let me play devil's advocate here. When that power plant up in Homer City that went out of business closed, lots of people lost their jobs. This power plant is going to create new jobs when it reopens up there in Homer City. These data centers require computer scientists. They require electrical engineers. They require environmental engineers to assess the impact. They require custodians. This is part of the reason that they had this Energy and Innovation Summit in Pittsburgh, is to talk about the jobs that are going to be created by the AI. Is Food and Water Watch against jobs? Are you against progress?
No, we put a report out a few years ago about how the renewable energy economy could also supply jobs and also supply the energy we need. So the jobs are great. And again, the jobs from any big industry like this will have downstream effects down to gas stations and everything else. But doing it for fossil fuels and AI right now just seems a little bit missing the mark. We can do this same thing with renewable power, whether it's solar or wind, and doing it for increased coal and natural gas consumption is not the way to go right now.
Why are these applicants? And again, I know you are not a computer scientist or an electrical engineer, but why is AI so much different? To me, I just typed the stuff into my browser window, and it doesn't seem to know the difference for me typing it into Google versus typing it into ChatGPT, right? It looks the same on my end. Doesn't seem like it's using any more energy. My electric bill at home here isn't going up because I'm using ChatGPT instead of Google. Why are these AI applications so power hungry?
The reason that we see it on our end is because the AI search model generates more clicks. As we know, the AI helping our search often makes us have to click around more to find the right information. Okay. So what it does is for Google, it generates more ad revenue because we click more.
Okay.
But the reason that it pulls so much power is the processing chips for AI and kind of AI language models run a lot hotter and pull much more energy than your average computer chip. Again, I'm not an electrical engineer, so I can't really speak to the nitty gritty.
But I think in one of the reports from Food and Water Watch, I think said it's up to 10 times more energy to do a normal Google search than chat, or the other way around, to do a ChatGPT rather than to do a Google search. So you've got 10 times as much computer power that's being invested to give me an AI. And that's before we even talk about these really power hungry things like making a video or making an image.
Right. That's exactly right. And yeah, unfortunately, the way that these companies are rolling out AI is at the consumer level, it's almost hard. It's hard to avoid using them.
They're pushing it in every, whether you want it or not. Now you have to go in and turn it off. It's not that you turn it on. It's that they put it there, whether you want it or not. Even you and I are talking over Zoom, and Zoom popped up here a window. Would you like an AI summary of your, no, I keep turning you off and you keep coming back.
Right. That's exactly right. And so these companies are really rolling it out. Again, I think that's to increase ad revenue, and probably there's other reasons they are. But an interesting thing with the companies rolling out AI is at the same time, Google, Microsoft, and other tech companies are trying to meet net zero emissions by 2030 and other environmental plans. So while they're trying to meet these goals in the next decade, they are increasing their emissions and water use by 50% or more each year. We've been pointing this out for a while here at Food and Water Watch, but these companies are using these financial kind of environmental accounting tricks, using offsets and other things to say they're going to meet these goals, but at the same time, increasing their carbon and water footprint every year. And at this point, it's being accelerated by AI. So there's really kind of some nefarious stuff going on there.
I don't want to single out, we have another break coming up. The time goes very quickly. I don't want to just single out my friends at Carnegie Mellon, where I got my undergrad degree. I don't want to just bash them for holding this summit, because as you pointed out, universities all over the country are holding these innovation summits that are focused on artificial intelligence. It's the next big thing. It's what everybody wants to jump on, the thing that's in the news. Should universities be taking a more critical look that, hey, we're going to hold this Energy and Innovation Summit, but hey, we're also going to hold this Dependence on Fossil Fuels Summit at the same time, or we're gonna look at both sides of the coin? Because it seems to me that the event we had in Pittsburgh, and I don't know about the one they had down at Vanderbilt, it's only one side of the coin. It's only, gee, look at how great and innovative this new technology is. It doesn't flip it over and say, but it also has consequences.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we hope and sometimes rely on universities to provide both sides of a dialogue. But unfortunately, the way the Trump administration is rolling out AI right now is they are incentivizing states to outlaw regulation on AI. So any state that creates a regulation on AI rollout is now not allowed to receive federal funds for development. And at the same time, the Trump administration is expediting and kind of decreasing the environmental review process for AI projects. So what they're really doing is doing less to approve these projects, a kind of a do less to get to yes approach when it comes to expediting and approving AI projects in a community. But yes, you would hope that there would be dialogue around the environmental and even the sociological or cultural harms that AI have. I don't, not to speak on the latter half of that, but yeah, you would hope that there would be a dialogue both ways. But right now it seems like there's only one conversation in one direction, and that's forward with AI, regardless of the footprint.
Well, and we do have this break that we have to take, but I just want to point out, you have mentioned the Trump administration several times, but you know, there's another one of these summits coming up in Pittsburgh in September, and Governor Josh Shapiro, who is a Democrat, who supposedly, the rumor is that Governor Shapiro wants to run for president in 2028, he's going to be co-organizing this summit in September. So it's not a Republican issue. It's not a Democrat issue. It seems to be both parties seem to be on board this AI and energy train.
Yeah. And the Biden administration back in January, before he left office, had AI rollout plans as well. Fortunately, in those plans, a lot of the increased power demands were going to be met by green energy, whether that was just lip service or not.
Let's pause. Let's pause there and let's talk about that. Let's take the break and let's talk about, you know, you said that Food and Water Watch is not against progress, but maybe we look at the consequences too. Let's talk about the green energy component of this, okay?
Yeah.
Ben Murray is a senior researcher for Food and Water Watch. You can find them at foodandwaterwatch.org. And we'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Ben Murray is a senior researcher for foodandwaterwatch.org. And if you want to know why Food and Water Watch is concerned about big computer processing data centers that power things like OpenAI and ChatGPT and your Facebook and Instagram AI searches, it's because they consume an awful lot of electricity, which puts more air pollution into the air in many cases, and they consume a lot of water to cool down those computers. Imagine 7 million laptops all running at the same time. Your lap would be very warm, I think, with 7 million laptops. Sorry. I got to get a joke in there somewhere. So, Ben, before we took the break, you mentioned that there are applications for AI where renewable resources, solar, wind, probably hydro as well, can be used to power AI. Why is that not happening?
Yeah, so here at Food and Water Watch, we don't oppose AI entirely. What we oppose is increased natural gas infrastructure and kind of re-entrenching the need for natural gas infrastructure across the country to power this new AI.
People don't realize it, but we've actually been weaning. Renewable energy has been the fastest growing segment for almost 10 years now. And I think some states now generate more via wind and solar than they do from burning coal and gas. And now all of a sudden we're going to swing the pendulum back the other way.
Right. And this is not necessary. The capacity and the ability to supply this power for renewables is there. And so here at Food and Water Watch, what we oppose is the reliance on fossil fuel energy to power this. So what we would hope for is any additive power on the grid. So any additive energy demand that AI causes, we would hope that that is met by renewable energy rather than, like you said, reopening coal plants, expanding natural gas capacity. But we haven't been seeing that from any proposal over the past few months.
Again, to play devil's advocate, because I saw this story circulate as we're talking a few days ago from a couple of our U.S. senators, not either of ours from Pennsylvania, but a couple of U.S. senators said, well, you can't have solar when the sun isn't out. You can't have wind if the wind isn't blowing. Does the power just go away when the sun goes down? Because the sun goes down every night. Does the power just go away when the wind stops blowing, or is it stored?
There are batteries in storage.
There's an invention called batteries, right?
There's an invention called batteries. Yeah. There's also, that argument, we've been hearing that for decades now.
100 years we've been hearing that argument, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I think actually thousands of years we've been hearing about people worry about the sun going away. So, that argument may have worked on people, or maybe it's still working, but storage.
It may have worked on Fred Flintstone.
But battery storage, speaking of technology and speaking of like increased rollout and supplying more, battery technology has been progressing by leaps and bounds over the past few decades. I mean, think about the type of batteries you can just carry to charge your phone, or, you know, generator backup batteries.
Or drive 300 miles on your car on a single charge.
Exactly. Yeah. So the storage capacity now is much better than it was even just 10 years ago. So that it shouldn't really be a concern. And we have a report on kind of the supply side of renewable energy, and all of the capacity is there, that the technology is there to do this. So reopening coal plants to power this AI boom really shows that the tech and natural gas, the fossil fuel companies, are working hand in hand here. This isn't about some sort of equitable rollout. This is about short-term profits for both of those companies.
Final thoughts here, Ben Murray from Food and Water Watch. If someone's hearing this and they're getting frustrated, well, maybe they're getting frustrated with our questions, but maybe they're getting frustrated with hearing this and saying, I want to do something. What can an ordinary person do? Whether they're an alumnus of a college that's holding one of these AI summits, or they're just an ordinary citizen, what can they do if they want to voice their concerns?
Yeah, hopefully I don't sound like a broken record here, but you can always call your representatives, whether it's at the state level, the local level. If you're in an area where they're proposing AI, a new AI data center or any type of AI data center, you can see if there's other people in the community who are organizing against that. We at Food and Water Watch work with community members to do that. And then being aware of the fact that these companies are working together for short-term profits with no regard to our environment. It sounds too big to be addressed today, but as long as we're aware of these things, there have been examples of communities kind of calling out the data centers for overwater use. And so it's just being aware of that. And then, like I said, calling Congress people and doing whatever organizing you can. From a consumer standpoint, it's not like not using Google is going to help here. It's kind of bigger than that. These are systems outside of your computer that are working together to do this. It's not just on your computer.
Ben Murray is a senior researcher for the advocacy group Food and Water Watch. They're concerned because these big computer processing data centers, I think when we call them a data center, I think it maybe abstracts it a little bit, and people think of, you know, oh, it's a little something that fits in a file cabinet. No, we're talking big, giant industrial building.
Acres
that is drawing, you know, millions of kilowatts or millions of watts of electricity, enough to power 7 million laptops, as you said. And that can have a real effect. Especially if you get your water from well water or from local sources, if it's pulling water from those aquifers, which is why a group like Food and Water Watch, foodandwaterwatch.org, is concerned. Ben, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us about this today.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.